This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My brothers and sisters, there is a common expression that we hear when people tell us, don't sweat the small stuff, meaning don't worry about the little things in life. And even though this expression may run true when it comes to certain portions or certain parts of our life, when it comes to our taqwa, when it comes to our consciousness of Allah Azza wa Jal, then we as Muslims, we pay attention to the details. We pay attention to the small things. When it comes to being aware of our sins and our good deeds, we are very careful. And we pay attention to the small things. And we see this manifest in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he told the believers, he said, اتقوا النار. He said, protect yourselves from the hellfire. And then the Prophet ﷺ tells us of one of the ways how we can protect ourselves from the hellfire. And what is interesting about this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ doesn't give a big example, or he doesn't give an example of an act of worship or something that we can do which is very big. Rather, the example that he gives us of how to protect ourselves from the hellfire, what good deed we can do to protect ourselves from the hellfire, is a deed that most people would look at and they would think it's very small. So the Prophet ﷺ said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق التمرة. He said, protect yourself from the hellfire, even if it's with a piece of a date. Meaning, even if it's by giving a piece of a date in charity. Now the average person may look at a piece of a date and may not think much of it. And for us, for our times, a piece of a date or half of a date may cost 50 cents or 25 cents. Now somebody who has 25 cents or 50 cents in their pocket, they may not think that that's much of an amount to give in charity. And subhanAllah, sometimes when we find ourselves at a fundraising event or an event where somebody's asking for charity, and we have a small amount in our pockets, we feel shy to give that amount. Because we say, you know, what is my $5 or $10 going to do? Right? And what are people going to think if I only give $5? It's better for me to just keep it in my pocket. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that even if it's a piece of a date, use it to protect yourself from the hellfire. Meaning a small deed can be very, very heavy on the Day of Judgment when it comes to our good deeds, our scale of good deeds. And this is why we as Muslims, we pay attention to the small matters when it comes to our iman and our taqwa. And this is why Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that one of the worst sins that a person can commit is to take their sins lightly. Meaning it's for a person to look at their sins and say, you know what, it's just a small sin. It's not a big deal. Or if a person commits a sin, they say, you know, Allah is ghafoor rahim. Allah is merciful. Allah is forgiving. What's the big deal? It's just a small sin. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he told us that a person who is a pious believer, when they commit a sin, they view their sin كَالْجِبَالِ فَوْقَ رَأْسِ, like it's a mountain on top of their head, meaning it can crash down upon them at any moment. Meaning when they commit a sin, they are fearful and they are vigilant. He said, on the other hand, an impious person, a sinful person, they view their sins like it's a fly hovering around their nose and they swat it away. Meaning it's not a big deal to them. It's like a fly. It's a small nuisance. You may or may not pay attention to this. And this is the difference between somebody who is conscious and somebody who is aware of their sins and somebody who just belittles their sins. And this is why, like Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, it is one of the most dangerous things, one of the worst sins we can commit is to take our sin and to belittle it. And if you look at the sin itself, a lot of times it's not just the sin, but the effects that sin has upon us when we begin to belittle that sin. Firstly, when we begin to belittle a sin of ours, what we will see happen is that it will become easier and easier for us to commit that sin. So if every time we commit a sin, we say, you know what? It's not a big deal. Why worry about it? And if we keep doing this, we will see that firstly, it will become easier and easier for us to indulge or be involved in this. Secondly, the other problem of belittling our sins is that eventually belittling our sins leads to a heart that becomes sealed, a heart that becomes hard. As Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, that the stain has sealed their heart by that which they used to do. Meaning if we keep belittling our sins, and we never make tawbah from our sins, we never seek repentance, that eventually a time will come when our heart will become sealed. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, that when a person commits a sin, a dot is placed upon their heart. And if they don't repent to Allah, then this dot remains. And if they commit another sin, another dot is placed upon their heart. Until a time comes where their whole heart becomes covered and their heart becomes sealed. And the danger of a sealed heart is that a person with a sealed heart will not be affected by reminders. So a person may come listen to a Jum'ah khutbah, they may listen to a lecture, they may listen to their friends or their family or someone, remind them of Allah, remind them that these sins that they're doing are dangerous, but they'll say, you know what, it's not a big deal. Or they'll sit and listen to reminder after reminder after reminder, and it will make no difference to them. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from having a sealed heart. The other effect of belittling our sins is the disappearance of modesty. So the more we indulge in sins, and the more we belittle these sins without making tawbah, the less modest, the less shy we're going to become about committing these sins. And as the Prophet ﷺ told us, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. He said, if you don't have modesty, or if you don't feel shy, then do as you like. Meaning if you're not ashamed to commit a sin, then what is going to stop you? Meaning you're going to keep indulging in this sin. And this is why this is a very, very dangerous position to be in. When we are committing sins and we don't care. And we begin to commit sins openly. And we commit sin after sin, and we don't care what happens. And this is the disappearance of modesty when we stop feeling shy, we stop feeling bad about our sins. Lastly, the effect of belittling our sins is that the more we belittle our sins, the more we forget the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why the scholars of the past, they would say, don't look at how small your sin is, rather, look at how big or how great the one is who you are disobeying, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? If Allah is important to us, right? If Allah is important now in our eyes, we will feel bad about sinning. And this is why if you look at the example of a child, somebody who's maybe 3 or 4 years old and their parent tells them not to do something. So let's say a father tells their young child that don't write on the wall with your crayons or your markers or whatever. This child may not understand why that's such a bad thing. To the child, it's a very nice thing to do, right? Creating nice pictures on the wall, that sounds like a very fun thing to do. What's wrong with that? But their father tells them not to do this. And this child will refrain from doing that, not because they understand what's wrong about this, but because in the child's eyes, their father is very important. And they know that if they were to write on the wall, that they would be disobeying their parent, that they would let their parent down, right? That they would disappoint their parent. And this is why the child will refrain from doing that action. Likewise, وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, that Allah has the highest example. If for us, we really care about Allah Azza wa Jal, we're not going to look at the sin itself and say, you know what, it's just a small sin, who cares? We're going to think about the fact that it is Allah Azza wa Jal, our Creator and our Lord and our Sustainer, the one who has given us every single blessing we have in this life. It is that Creator of ours who has told us to refrain from this, from such and such matter. And so for us at this time, now this sin becomes very great. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وسيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته ومن اكتفى بهديه إلى يوم الدين وبعد. My brothers and sisters, I wanted to give you just one example of a sin that many of us may think like it's not a big deal, right? But the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal has made this action a sin automatically makes it a big deal. And that is the sins of our tongue. So for example, a person may backbite somebody else and they may not think much of it. And they may say, you know, what's the big deal? I'm just telling you what happened. And they don't realize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has defined backbiting in a very clear way. He told us backbiting is dhikruka akhak bima yakrah. It is to say something about your brother that they wouldn't like for you to say about them. Meaning that's it, that's the definition. If you say something about someone that that person wouldn't like for you to say about them, you have fallen into the sin of backbiting. And we know that the sin of backbiting is a major sin in Islam. And this is one of the tricks of shaitan to come to us and tell us, listen, don't worry about this sin. It's not a big deal. Don't you know that Allah is Ghafur and Rahim? Allah will forgive you. Right? And the problem with this is that we will, like I said before, we will keep indulging in this sin. So you see, a person who backbites someone or talks bad about someone or gossips about someone, that if they're not told or if they're not reminded, if they don't themselves realize the gravity of what they're doing, then at this point, backbiting just becomes a habit. So it becomes part of their everyday life, meaning they're just going to talk about people, or they're going to spread gossip, or they're going to mention, you know, did you hear what happened with this person? Did you hear what happened with that person? Right? And now the simple act of a few words from our tongue has taken us into a major sin of backbiting. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ. That a person may mention or say a single word that is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. يَهُوِي بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمُ. That with this single word, this person enters the depths of the hellfire. Right? Here the Prophet is telling us the severity of our words and how severe it can be to mention things that are displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is just one example, my brothers and sisters, of how shaitan fools us into belittling ourselves, into belittling our sins, so we begin to indulge in more and more sins. My brothers and sisters, there is a flip side to that coin. Just like we're not supposed to belittle our bad deeds, on the other hand, the other trick of shaitan is for him to try to convince us to belittle our good deeds. And this is why I started this khutbah with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, protect yourselves from the hellfire, even if it's with giving a piece of a date, meaning giving a piece of a date in charity, a small act of good deed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. He said, do not belittle anything from good deeds. And once again, after the Prophet says this, he gives us an example. An example which many people think is a very small act of goodness. And a lot of people don't even actually consider this an act of goodness. They just think it's, you know, it's okay. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِيقٍ. He said, never belittle anything from good deeds, even if it's you facing your brother with a cheerful face or a smile on your face. Now many people may look at the act of smiling at someone and say, you know, I guess it's a good thing to do. I guess it's okay to do. And they may not realize that the Prophet ﷺ counted the act of smiling at someone from al-ma'roof, from good deeds. Meaning this is an act that may be something which saves us on the Day of Judgment. If we smiled at someone with the intention that this can be an act of ibadah, if we're doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, that we may show up on the Day of Judgment, and this act of smiling may be the act that tips our scale of good deeds and we enter paradise. And brothers and sisters, there is a story that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us of a woman from the nations who came before us. And this story is absolutely amazing. He tells us of a woman who was a prostitute. And this woman got some water from the well, from a well for herself. And when she came up out of this well, she saw a dog which was panting out of thirst. Now when she sees this dog, she has mercy on this dog. So she climbs back into the well. And she fills her shoe with water. And she bites the shoe with her teeth because she needs her hands to climb up out of this well. And she comes up out of this well and she gives this dog water. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us that because of this act, Allah Azza wa Jal forgave her sins. Right? And what's amazing about this story is who is mentioned in this story. Firstly, the Prophet ﷺ told us that this woman was a prostitute. A profession that everyone would consider bad, whether you're a religious person or not, whether you're considered super pious or whether you're a practicing Muslim or not, every person, most people in society will look at a prostitute and say, yeah, that's a bad person. They're doing something which is very bad. It is this prostitute, a woman who is involved in that type of sin, that Allah Azza wa Jal forgave because of her good deed. Secondly, you have to look at who she actually gave water to. Not a person, not a human being, an animal. And not just any animal, a dog. A dog, which we as Muslims, we don't even keep a dog inside of our house. Right? A lot of scholars consider the saliva of a dog to be najis, to be impure. When we see a dog as a Muslim, we stay away from dogs. Right? It is a dog, it is this animal that she had mercy upon, and Allah Azza wa Jal forgave her sins. And that is why this story is absolutely amazing. For us to reflect upon this and think that maybe we do a single act with sincerity. And because of this act, Allah Azza wa Jal forgives our sins. And this is why Shaitan doesn't want us to think about these matters. He doesn't want us to realize that our good deeds are very important and we should pay attention to the small details. We should never ever belittle a good deed, no matter how small it is. My brothers and sisters, if you look at the issue of simply our intentions, you will realize how important these small matters are, or matters that seem small to us, but they're very important with Allah Azza wa Jal. Two people may be praying the exact same prayer. Two people prayed two rak'ahs of Fajr. They both made the takbir. They both recited Surah Al-Fatiha. And they both did the exact same actions, but their reward is very, very different. One person has a very high reward simply because of their intentions. Because per the person who has a very high reward with Allah Azza wa Jal, they were praying with their heart and their soul. And they were conscious of Allah. And they were praying because they realized this is an act of ibadah to Allah Azza wa Jal, and it brings them closer to Allah. The second person simply praying because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do as a Muslim, right? You just get up and you pray two rak'ahs in the morning and you move on. Likewise, this act of ibadah that we're involved in right now, the Jum'ah khutbah, there may be people who attend the Jum'ah khutbah for no other reason than that's just what they've been doing their whole life, right? Or Friday rolls around and you go to the masjid, the closest masjid, and you sit and you listen to somebody talk and you go home and you're done. Compare that to the intention of a person who comes to the masjid as early as they possibly can. And they come with the intention that they're about to enter into an act of ibadah, an act of worship. And they sit and they listen to the khutbah with the intention that while they are listening to the khutbah, they're involved in an act of ibadah, an act of worship to Allah Azza wa Jal. And they realize that this Jum'ah khutbah has been legislated for our benefit. For us to get closer to Allah. It has been legislated in congregation, so we come together as Muslims and we worship Allah Azza wa Jal. How different is the reward of these two people? My brothers and sisters, I'll give you an example of a story, something that happened to me personally. I went to a particular community, and I gave the khutbah there, the Jum'ah khutbah. After the khutbah and after the salah, a man comes up to me. And as he was coming up to me, I could tell that he was very upset. He was walking towards me, he comes up to me, and he points his finger at me, and he says, what time does the salah start? What time does the prayer start? And I was a bit confused. I didn't know exactly how to answer him. I thought about it for a second, and I said, well, the salah starts, the prayer starts, when the khutbah is over. Okay? So he looks at me, dead in the eye, and he says to me, yes. He says, because of you, I missed my salah today. And he storms off. Now, I experienced this right now, and I say, I'm dumbfounded. I don't understand what happened here. I don't understand why this brother was so upset at me. And I sat for a minute thinking about what actually happened. And then I realized what actually occurred in this moment. This brother, what he would do is he would time the salah. So he would know the imam finishes the khutbah at exactly such and such time. So he would show up just for the salah. And because I was a visiting imam or I was a visiting khatib, and my khutbahs generally are shorter, and today might be the exception, but in general my khutbahs are shorter than most people, 20, 25 minutes max. Because my khutbah was shorter, we ended the khutbah earlier, and we started the salah earlier, and obviously the salah ended earlier. And by the time he had come, we had finished salah. Right? And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, how much of a difference is there between the reward of somebody who shows up early, somebody who comes for the khutbah and the salah. When a person makes the intention that they're only coming for the salah, what do you think they'll be rewarded for? Do you think Allah will give them the reward for something that they didn't even make the intention for? Of course not. And this is why, my brothers and sisters, I say to you today, sitting here right now in this Jumu'ah khutbah, you may have come with a different intention. Right? You may not have had any intention at all. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has still given you the opportunity sitting here right now to change your intention and tell yourself, make the intention right now that right now I'm sitting here involved in an act of ibadah. And this act of ibadah, this act of worship is done so that I get closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla and I earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And in turn, it may be this act of ibadah that leads me to paradise. Lastly, my brothers and sisters, I will leave you with a final point, and that is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the most beloved actions to Allah Azza wa Jal are those actions which are done consistently, even if they're small, even if they're less. Meaning that it is more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal that we are consistent over our acts of goodness rather than just doing one act of piety or one act of goodness once in our life and never returning to it again. So for example, if you look at something as simple as the night prayer, Qiyamul Layl, it is more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal that we consistently pray Qiyamul Layl rather than getting up one night and praying for 2 hours. It is more beloved to Allah that we do it every night, even if it's for 5 minutes. Right? So the point here is that our rewards can differ depending on our intentions and depending on how consistent we are in our acts of worship. So before I close, I say to you, number one, make the intention right here, right now, sitting here today, that you will pick one sin you have in your life. No matter how small you think that sin is, pick one sin in your life and leave it today, consistently, right? No matter how small you think the sin is, make the decision right now that from today on forth, I will not commit the sin again, right? And be consistent in that. Secondly, pick one act of piety, one act of goodness, no matter how small you think it is, and add it to your daily life. It may be that you don't pray the 2 sunnahs of Fajr, maybe. Or it may be that you don't pray the 2 sunnahs of Maghrib. It may be that after your salah, you don't make any dhikr, right? It may be something very small, but pick a small act of goodness, a small act of piety, or a small act of ibadah, and add it to your life, but be consistent in it. And therefore, you will gain the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالسَّلَامِ عَلَى نَبِيهِ وَقَالْ إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد